Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends in Christ, and every faculty and staff whom I know and whom I don't know for a long time, you brothers and sisters to me, and same students, we body of Christ. It's my privilege to be here and to speak to you for reasons of first of all, I think anytime you have opportunity to speak Word of God, talk about Jesus, talk about God's love and salvation, talk about what Lord tells us, particularly to each of us, every opportunity, either a church service or chapel, or any kind of ministry Lord would lead you, that is great privilege. All kind of jobs and all kind of activities, like mothers, fathers, being mother and father, or whatever types of work you could do, they're all important. But still, there is nothing more important and highly viewed by God is preaching about his son. I like study biographies. I like study biographies of people of God, from Word of God. And I like to study biographies of those people who, in our generation, in our time, and when I try to study as much as I could about James Irvin, American astronaut, he said, God allowed me to get on moon, so I would come back, I quit NASA, and I would preach about his son on Earth. That is one of those examples for us that is great privilege to talk about Jesus, to preach his word. Another privilege I have right now because I am alive. I'm not going to talk very much about that experience I had, but I'm still learning from that experience more and more. I had a heart attack. It was December 9. It was nothing I planned or expected. When I asked doctors why it happened to me, all reasons they said, I lived healthy life, healthy diet. I was doing a lot of activities in sports and everything. Don't have in my ancestors something like issues like I do. Stress caused it. But I began to view things differently. It's one thing to have surgery, and it's another thing to be somewhere on the edge. It's not planned surgery. It's something like either life or death, and it's a matter of minutes. And since then, I didn't become more spiritual. I didn't get wings and hell. I didn't become wiser, but I'm learning and learning. And one of lessons, many lessons, but one of them is that is such a privilege and joy and gift to be alive. So I came here to talk with you. Sure, you can call it preaching and teaching, speaking in chapel. But as I always say when I speak in chapel, I say, I was in your seat. I was one of you. I was a student, me and my wife. So I know student life. I know where you're at now. I think I know. And there is something I can talk to you because I've been there. And again, I'm not more spiritual, more mature, more wiser, more holy than you are. I just happen to be on the road of life and ministry several years ahead of you. So I just want to talk to you. Just talk. And since experience I had, I taught, I preached in different types of ministries. It'll be either camping or radio ministry or different type, like a ministry, different topics. But now they narrowing to the topic of Jesus. I still can talk about different topics. I like to study a lot, anything I can. But when I was going to this heart attack surgery, and I had very short conversation with Lord, I said, Jesus, if we're going to meet soon, just in a minute, because I don't know how they handle this, let's talk about what we need to talk. We have a couple minutes. Or if you would give me life after this, then let's continue our conversation after surgery. Would you give me life for what I would be living for? So why I'm here? Because I'm invited. Dr. Anderson invited me. He said, Vlad, would you speak in chapel? I said, yes. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Because I'm here, and I want to talk to you about Jesus. Because where I'm in. So I'm invited. I'm in. Yeah, I see. You see, I'm following teaching of ABC that every point should be on letter, same letter. And I'm inspired. I'm really inspired. And I want to inspire you too. I would read again this passage so that we would recall it in our memory. The story is that Jesus, after his baptism, and after he was led by Holy Spirit in wilderness, after this he returned in power of spirit to Nazareth, where he was raised, and he came in synagogue, and book was given to him, and he found place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight of the blind, to set up liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says that he closed book, and everybody was looking at him. So what's next? Because usually teacher would read scripture, and as we do here, we read scripture and then we comment, we preach, we explain. And this is what they were expecting of him. So what he will tell now? And nobody ever, if he would run to this passage, nobody never said what he said then. That was first time in history, first and last, when somebody said, it's about me. It's me. That scripture is fulfilling today. I am appointed. I am anointed. I am Messiah. I am Savior. It's me. It's happening right now. Now I want to tell you a little bit about invitation. I'm invited here. Anything in our life. Anything in our life. Older you get, mature you get, more experienced you get in things, you would get to the point that anything happens in my life, it's not between me and parents. It's not between me and politics. It's not between me and issues or circumstances. It's something not between me and somebody or something. It's something in the Word of God, in all history of God, in humankind, and in all history in life, anything happens is between me and God. We get across different people, we get across different situations, circumstances, but either we like it or not, either we understand it or not, it's between me and God. And he invites me and he appoints something in my life, some circumstances or crossroads with some people he invites and manages that I happen to be there. And again, I'm not there for myself. I'm not there for what I would do there. I'm not there because of some people or something like that. Anything happens. Bible full of those stories, life full of those stories. But remember what Joseph said to his brothers? What you did to me, it's not between me and you. It's between me and my God. He did it. And another thing, when God invites us somewhere, he has purpose. He has sense. He has reason. I'm not here to tell you motivational speeches about how good that you are at Appalachian Bible College, and this is the right place where you have to be, and there is no better college in the world. And this is, I'm not going to say this as motivational speech, but I will say this. It's my belief. If you happen to be here, you're already here. There is something God has planned for you to be particular here at your particular age, at your particular circumstances, and being around particular people who are around you and professors and what you're going through. Again, don't listen to me. Listen, God. Through all my years of ministry, to 22 years, preaching and teaching and doing different types of ministries, I always said that phrase. Whatever I preach and teach you, don't listen to me. Listen, God. I'm not truth. I'm just communicating the way I understand truth. But I can be convincing or not for you, because you look at me as Vlad. You talk to Jesus. You talk with him. And if you agree, you agree with him. If you don't agree, you not agree with me. You not agree with somebody. You not agree with Jesus. So this is the reason why we have Holy Spirit. God gave us Holy Spirit, that we can hear his voice. We can understand what's going on. We cannot explain it. I know there are lots of different, you know, illustrations about Holy Spirit, but it's not explainable. You can bring up some illustration, but there is no way to explain how it works. It's something like when I was a kid and I would be in church, and for us to behave well as little kids, they would put us in first row so that mama in the choir would see us. And it's amazing. I don't know how to explain it. When my mother was singing in a choir, right now her eyes on choir director and hymnal book, and her lips pronouncing words of song. And when I misbehave something on the first row, with very glimpse of move, a little bit here on her lip, and a little blink in her eye that nobody notices, I got the point. And you know what I mean? Because you just feel it. You just understand it, and nobody sees that. So when I was invited to speak at Appalachian Bible College, Dr. Anderson didn't know it. Nobody knew it. I knew it. I could not to speak. I could not come. Because when I was invited, the date set up today, I have to be in Ukraine already like 2 weeks. All my plans were about 2nd or 3rd January, me and my son go back to Ukraine. But when I got this invitation, I said, Lord, I don't think I'm lying to them. I can. I'm not playing with dates that, yeah, set up me for this date, and I know that I'm flying, and I knew I'm flying out of country. But there are things sometimes when you talk to God and you say, God, what is this? It's not just invitation. For some reason, I just sense that I have to say yes, even knowing that I would leave country. Because I was waiting for my son to come, and he would rest here a little bit, recover a little bit from things he was there, visiting frontline. And then we will prepare some things for ministry in Ukraine, and we would leave in first days of January. I didn't know I would have heart attack. I didn't know how months would go. But I just sensed. And again, nothing mystical, okay? Nothing mystical. I'm not saying that say yes, knowing you would not be able to keep promises. But there are things. It's not calendar. It's not something we understand. It's something when we say, Lord, what is this? What is this? I want to read word. I want to pray. And I want to feel. I want to see. Were you there? So I'm here because I'm invited. Knowing 99% I would not be here. And I'm here. And I cannot leave country for next at least half year or maybe 2 years. Because I'm going to have another surgery on heart. Tomorrow I have meeting with the doctor. On Monday I have another meeting with another doctor. And then they would decide what and how it'll work. But they said, if you want to go back to Ukraine as patient, you can go today. If you want to go there as Italian, as minister, first you need to get on your feet. First you need to fix your heart to be ready to minister there. So what I'm saying that I'm invited, and there are so many things in our life. When we invited for ministry in Sunday school, for ministry in the church, or for some need or something where God leads us, I want to tell you, talk to Jesus about that. He knows what we don't know, and He would give us what we don't understand absolutely, but He would lead us. Another thing I would tell you that I was invited in many ministries, got started through 22 years ministry in Ukraine. None of those ministries I started. None of those ministries. I can tell you two proofs. One of them is when I name you all ministries we do, and I'm not qualified for that to start. I'm not the one. Starting Bible Institute, and then Dr. Anderson was coming with Mrs. Anderson and with the handbells and with the group. We're involved in everything. He knows, he remembers that. God called me in some position to do some ministry in education. I'm not qualified even by degree. I was not. I got here a bachelor degree, and I was put in a position for 3 years to do ministry where you would have to have at least master's degrees or a doctorate degree. I'm not saying how smart I am. I'm saying that either education or bikers ministry or camping ministry or counseling ministry or drama, music ministry or English or something, you just learn, read Word of God. You learn, pray, and you learn to have such relationship with Jesus that you would follow His guidance. I don't know why I was invited in all circumstances of war happened. And now this prayer card with all ministries. All ministries here, about 12 ministries, it's outdated. Nothing possible to do. All fall apart because war. You can't do none of those ministries. Rockets bombing, people suffering, much death, all of that, hell on earth. There is no way to do those ministries. But I said, Lord, where you lead me? And He led me and my wife. And then when I talked to one of my friends, soldiers, who almost died, but he was rescued, and he's one whom I led to the Lord and then discipled. And God spoke to me. He gave me a lesson. He was here in the States. We wanted to save his two legs, but one had to be amputated. So we got one leg for him here, and they put artificial leg, and he's back there. And when I had heart attack, I contacted him. I communicated with him, and I said, you know what? And here in English language, you have word handicapped. Handicapped. But in our country, we have different word, invalid. This is handicapped. So I said, now we're both invalids. And he said, Vlad, invalid is one who gave up. We're not invalid. God changed us. I'm now with one artificial leg. You now with stent in your heart. He just changed us. He's inviting us to something different. I cannot go to battlefield as I used to be, but I will do different fight. And you as pastor, as minister, you cannot do things, but now you do what God changed you, and he leads you. Listen to him. And I think I'm here. First, I was invited, and second, where I'm in. You know, we usually expect that if speaker would come, preacher would show up on the pulpit, pastor or teacher or leader, conference or something, we would hear somebody successful. We would hear somebody that there is long list what he's done and where he's at. And now he's so smart and successful, he is overcomer. He is on the top. He has lots of things to show what he is. And we expect, well, where he or she is, where they end, he has to say something to me. And we kind of like looking at simple people with all, without all those credentials and all those big ministries or big impressive things and everything, success. And I'm not against success. I'm only for it. But I'm talking about reality. And when I already had heart attack, and after then, for all this time, I had very, very difficult time. Difficult time that I decided I will do something what I'm done for 22 years. For 22 years, I always would say broken people, discouraged people, if something falls apart in their life and family or ministry, I would say, stay with God, stay with his word, stay with prayer, stay with your church, and get closer as possible to your pastor. This is three advices. So I met with Ken Killen, and I said, Pastor Killen, I want to tell you, we were friends for many, many years. And I said, Pastor Killen, and we sit in here in one of classrooms near table, and I say, Pastor Killen, I used to sit on your side of table as pastor, counselor, and one who would be helping people. Now I'm sitting on this part of table. I need help. I'm broken. Everything fall apart. All my plans, everything we've done with my son, preparing for doing in Ukraine for refugees, for kids who lost their parents, and wounded soldiers and everything. I mean, we had such a big plans and visions and preparations and everything. It's not possible to do because I'm here. There is no way you do some things from here. I mean, the way you planned. And ministries fall apart there because of war. And I was talking, they assigned that for my heart I have to walk a lot. So I usually started to walk 1 hour a day. Now I try to do 1.5 hours. And for 1.5 hours, you have a lot of talk with God. And I got with such talk with God, I was angry. I didn't agree with him. I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't fail believe him. I love him. I was crying. And I was talking, Lord, what I am, I'm nothing. Who I am, I'm nobody. What do I have? And everything. And then I said, Lord, by the way, in about a week, I have to go and speak in chapel. What am I going to tell them? And again, I don't hear voices, okay? But I think when you read Bible, when you pray, when you walk with Jesus, when you cry with him, when you argue, when you ask, and then you humble yourself before him and say, I don't agree, I don't understand, I don't want it, I don't like it. But then I got to the point, I was walking, and almost like 15 minutes, I found myself, I'm silent. I'm not talking to him. I'm silent for 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, I said, Lord, it seems like I'm out of words and emotions. And I got to complete brokenness and emptiness. And I don't know what to do. But I know I love you. I want to serve you. And this is what he said to him. He said, Vlad, so this is what I want you to tell them. Where are you at? Tell them that you poor. Your house, your cars, your ministry equipment, everything stayed there and it's all scattered. And you don't owe things here like you used to have in Ukraine. Tell those tutors that you are poor. Tell them that you're brokenhearted. Tell them that because of your heart issues, now you cannot do lots of physical and other things. Tell them that you're blind, that you don't know where to go. Tell them this. Tell them that you're bruised, that you're wounded in your mind and your heart and in your emotions. Tell them this. Tell them that this year, 2023, is most miserable, not good year, even before it started, from December 2022. Tell them this so that they would know that success or being on top or being with the Lord, it's not when you're in something good, comfort, understood, prosperity and expanding. Tell them about me. Tell them, Vlad, where you're at and tell them. And Jesus said, Vlad, I would be appointed for you to inspire you by gospel and to tell you, Vlad, you still would preach gospel. Tell them that even you brokenhearted, I would be one who sent to heal your heart. I'm not saying that I would be healed. I don't know. What I'm saying, everything was going on in your heart, I would fix it. I would make it again ready. I'm cleaning your heart now. I'm working on your heart now. I'm doing something in your heart now. I'm preparing your heart now for something different. I'm working on your heart. Doctor finished when he did surgery. I didn't finish, I continue. And as doctor needed hours for surgery, well, as God, for what I'm going to do in your heart, I need months, maybe 2 years. I'm doing something. And tell them who I am for you when you're blind. And I would lead you. Don't worry that you don't see. Just know that I see. I see where I'm leading you. I see where you're at. I'm not caught off guard. And tell them, I know you're bruised. And I would hug you. And I would encourage you. And tell them that year 2023 would be a good year. First of all, because you have this year. Well, I don't know if I would live whole year, but at least I entered in that. And this is what I say. Appreciate that you have this day. If you would have year, good. Years, good. But God says, no matter what will be this year, no matter what exams, tests, failures, brokenness, news you would hear from your church family or something like that, it's a good year. In something we don't understand, in something we're bruised, in something we're broken, we're empty. And we say, and everybody would say, mockers of God, they would say, where's your God? Is he good? Others, successful, good, motivators, they would say, something wrong with you. But only Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through his word of God, through prayer, and through our close relationship in tears, soul to soul, spirit to spirit, he can hug and say, hey, it's a good year. I know what I'm doing. And I finish with the inspire. You know, when God led me to complete, all ministries fall apart. War is doing all that mess. And I'm here. I cannot do things what I would like to and how I would like to. And the Lord began to inspire me through some passages of Scripture, through some notes or some conversations I would have after I got to this point when I was absolutely empty in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. When I was absolutely empty, God began to pour in something there. And again, no mystics, no voices, no miracles, no outstanding things, through Word, through Holy Spirit. It's so simple, but it's so real. And he gave me another thing, and my son Danny helped me in that. When we were recently on one of the events, and there on this event, they were showing ministry in Africa, how great needs are for Africa, and how kids suffering there and everything. And suddenly, Danny, 11-year-old kid, he never 11-year-old kid, he pushes me and he says, Father, why are they talking about Africa if what I see on screen and hear in Ukraine is much worse? Why are they not talking about Ukraine? Children. And I kind of like thought, and again, God gave me the answer. I gave to him and he gave to me. I said, Danny, God called them to Africa. He invited them in Africa. This is where they in Africa. They inspire people for Africa. You have heart for Ukrainian kids? This is what I have heart to. Let's learn from their example and testimony how they do for where God called them to do it for Ukraine. Let's me and you begin to care for those children. And God has given me something which is called Living For. And I learned at ABC here that every letter has to mean something. And that means local initiation, volunteer, inspire, navigate, group. So this is what I'm praying about. If you would remember me in your prayers, pray for me. If you would pray in your churches about me, pray for me. For that ministry, that I'm here locally. But here I would find some one-minded people who would want to pray for Ukraine, who would want to do something for Ukrainian people. If God calls you to China, Africa, or other countries, that is great. Follow his invitation. But if he calls you, pray for me, for our family, for me and Danny. If you want, it's easy to find me. There is only one Ukrainian here in Beckley, and we are Ukrainian. So you can find me and say, hey, Vlad, during my time here at ABC, I want to pray with you. I want to initiate. I want to be part of, I want to volunteer. What we can do for those people, suffering churches, suffering kids. What we can do for those who lost their husbands in the war. And they either know God or don't know God. So I want to volunteer. I want to inspire those people. I want to navigate them because those people in much more terrible brokenness, emptiness than I was. One of those who was evacuating people and saving, rescuing people, I just read it in the news. For several months, he evacuated a couple hundreds of people from under bombs and miserable, unbelievable circumstances. A couple hundreds. That volunteer. And then just about a week ago, he jumped from 8th floor. He committed suicide. And all investigations were made. They said there is only one reason. He rescued so many people, but he saw so much. He experienced so much. He could not handle it. And he committed suicide because he could not live with what he saw. Living for means, I told you, locally, where we at. Initiate, volunteer, inspire, navigate people from where they at to Jesus. And it has to be some group. For means faith, our call, ultimate goal, and relate. I'm living for now. I'm living for faith. I'm living for, I've not done anything wrong, but now I'm much more focused on faith, faith. I mean, I was focused very much on ministries. Nothing wrong, but now I want to be even more faith. Share my Jesus. Tell about my Jesus. Our call. Lord, this is where I'm in. Tell me what is my call now. I don't want to do ministries. I don't want to do what I want. I want to do your call, our call. Ultimate goal is only one. Cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation of souls. Making them disciples. And his church. There is no other ultimate goal except just this one. Cross of Jesus Christ. And why is that? For saving and for making disciples and for his church. That is ultimate goal. And relate. It's one thing to pray. It's absolutely another thing to get up and to do step at the time what you understand. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Thank you that we are alive. Thank you for this college where you're doing your work of Holy Spirit through your word, through testimony and experience and ministry of faculty and staff and each other. Thank you for who you are for us as we read in this passage. Lead us, encourage us, what we have to live for. In Jesus' name we pray.